Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance. It's time for Speed Talk with host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Barr. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Hello, welcome to Speed Talk.
That was a 5-4-3-2-1.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. We got a little bit of a mix-up there, but we're all right. Welcome to Speed Talk. Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny?
Yes?
Now that you're telling everybody they're number one, could you tell us what your Twitter is?
Yeah, I certainly could. It's KennyBarr52.
I'm at RadioSpeedTalk2. Folks, it is time, man. Yes.
I have breaking news.
You got
oh,
a Twitter?
Lord.
No.
What?
I'm on Instagram, so I can share all the lovely photographs that I've taken, and the address would be SpeedSnapThis, all one word.
SpeedSnapThis. You want to spell that for them since you've got on Kenny for that so much?
No, I think people can spell SpeedSnapThis.
Jeez. Wow, this show just really started great, didn't it? And we got Tom. That was Tom Wolf you just heard. We got Kenny Barr with us, Tiny behind the boards, Cliff Tanner coming at you. A lot of stuff to talk about. We're 2 weeks away from Daytona, folks. Finally, racing season's here. But don't forget, next week is NHRA kicking in theirs. We talked about them last week. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Hall of Fame inductees that just recently got in. And we're also going to talk some ARCA, which they are going to be, actually, we'll be talking about them next week, telling you who won, because they're coming up here on the February 16th. All kinds of good things going on, man. I am so excited. We're going to talk some Camping World Truck Series, some of the changes going on there, seeing what we're going to look at. We are going to make predictions on Camping World Truck Series. ARCA, I don't know. Well, I'll leave it up to you guys whether we want to do that or not. But we're going to talk about that. Our local track is going to be Eldora, because that's going to pretty much to tie in down there in Ohio. And then we got Do You Know. We'll talk a little bit about whatever we can fit in after that. Some stuff going on with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We'll try to get to all that. Guys, welcome, man.
Thank you, sir.
Hi.
A joy to be here.
It's a joy to be here. All right. Talk about the Hall of Fame. We had five guys go in yesterday. Rusty Wallace, Leonard Wood, Buck Baker, Cotton Owens, and Herb Thomas. First of all, I got to say, Rusty Wallace, we've seen him, not a real big fan of his after some of the stuff we've seen down at Indianapolis 2 years ago. But 55 wins, just a one-time champion. Does he really deserve to be in before some of the other guys out there?
No.
What do you think, Tom?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I'll take it one step further. How did Linwood not go in with Glenn last year?
Because I think part of that is they didn't want Relation to go in at the same time.
Don't care.
I agree. I'm not saying.
You've got a team called the Wood Brothers.
Yes, I understand. But let me ask you this. And I agree with that. You know, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'm sitting here trying to, after the fourth one that went in, I'm trying to figure out their criteria because I don't get it.
Well, let's take a look at the Hall of Fame itself. And I think when it was initially set up, there was a flaw in it to begin with.
Sure.
Because there should have been 25 or 30 inductees already put in there.
I agree.
And then we can start forward and and start including some of the newer drivers and things like that. But yeah, I'm with you, and I understand that they're trying to play a little catch up here. But I still believe, you know, they you talk about having money problems funding the hall. Who wants to go see it right now? You know, until there's more inductees into it, do you want to drive to Charlotte and spend the money until there's a lot more members in it worth seeing?
And I agree with you, because most people are going to go to the Hall of Fame at this point, or people that's going to go to the Charlotte Motor Speedway to watch some things.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's going to be a few, but I why would I want to go see it? I mean, it's nothing like the Pro Football Hall of Fame or
right.
baseball or anything like that. And you're right. I think they should have started with a class of at least 30 to 40 people to bring them in and then let guys come in as they go on. But and I'm not taking nothing away. 55 wins is pretty good. And having a championship is pretty good, but I don't think Rusty Wallace should have won it. Leonard Wood, as you just heard Tom say, the half of the Wood brothers with the famed David Pearson. Buck Baker was introduced by Jeff Gordon, which I thought was kind of interesting. He actually graduated from his driving school.
Right.
Heard a little story about that on the way here today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I forget who recommended Jeff Gordon to go to the Buck Baker driving school, but... Buck Baker was quoted as saying, "Don't let that little SOB come down and tear up all my cars."
He had a reputation, from what I understand, coming in.
Who, Buck? Or
no,
Gordon?
Gordon.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He, you know, a lot of aggressive racers that are young and are moving up the chain of command a little bit too fast. They don't understand grip as well as they should and horsepower as well as they should, i.e., you wreck a lot of equipment.
Now, Buck Baker was also the first back-to-back champion in that 4 year span. He finished in the top two, which I thought was pretty cool. Cotton Owens, we all know about him. Introed by David Pearson. And David Pearson, I swear, that was a fun interview we did with him. But he died in June of 1998, but he ran 9 races and then turned owner. And he was actually the first driver to become the first two-time champ, just not back-to-back. And I thought that was pretty cool, so... And then we got Herb Thomas. He was also, I take that back, that wasn't Cotton Owens, that was the first. But Cotton Owens was named NASCAR's 50 Greatest Drivers, which I think, how do you do that when he only races 9 races? But he did win a ton of the what's the series below that, Kenny? The K&N or K&S series or whatever.
How low you want to go?
However you want to go.
Well,
he's won a ton of races. He won quite a few races. I think it's the K&N series, isn't it?
Well, there's one called the K&N West and K&N East now.
Right.
K&N Fielder Series, which is probably about the same as ASA used to be, or the CRA Super Series is now. There's a lot of pockets of those all over the country and stuff.
And I was wrong, and I take that back, but Herb Thomas was the first one to be a two-time champion in NASCAR. So.
And he's been gone for quite a while.
Yeah, he's been. Yeah, well, Wallace and Wood are the only two surviving members.
Yeah, Owens just died this year, or last year.
June of last year.
Buck Baker obviously has been gone, and Herb Thomas. So I'm glad they're reaching back and recognizing these people. I mean, Baker died in 02, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
And it's a shame that they weren't around, but you know, God's got the date, man, and he doesn't tell anybody when it is, so...
Yeah, you definitely don't have a chance. It'll be interesting to see who's going to come out this year. But let's go into ARCA. 61st year, defending champions Chris Buescher. And, well, they actually get to be the first ones to race at Daytona this year on February 16th. I was going through, guys. I was kind of surprised. You know, we talked last week about off the air, had a little meeting about this. And here I thought I knew all these drivers that were going to be in there this year. Most of the drivers that were there last year are not going to be. And there was kind of some surprises that I saw in there, like Venturini Motorsports. Last year they had four or five cars almost all year long. And I was looking at the entry list for the Daytona, and he's only got 2 cars. And only one of them is filled, one still to be announced. But kind of interesting, he went with Milka Duno as the one driver.
Huh. Really?
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, the ARCA races we were, she loves to crash in that, you know, so.
Crashed at Indy, too. Didn't her and Danica almost have a cat fight a few years ago?
Yes, they did.
There? I don't think, you know why it didn't happen? I don't think Duno knew enough English to really argue back with her at the time.
Well, that may be part of it, but just, you know, like I said, I went through, you know, last year we had Chris Buescher, who was the defending champion, Frank Kimmel, Brennan Poole, Alex Bowman, Chad Achenbrack, Matt Lofton. I mean, we could go down all over the place, but Chris Buescher and Frank Kimmel are the only guys I see that are coming back this year. But again, it's Daytona, and the list might be a little bit smaller. But Kyle Larson, we all know who Kyle Larson is. I mean, young kid coming up through all the CRA series. Go ahead.
He also landed a 10 race truck ride this week with somebody.
Yes, he did. Yep. But we got Bobby Gearhart, been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
Former
good
champ.
Heavens.
John Wesley Townley is going to be driving a Toyota. Chris Buescher's back. Milka Dunos, we talked about. Frank Kimmel, a nine-time champ, been around forever. But, James Hilton in his 70s and still going.
I hope he
going.
Makes it.
Yeah. Well, he's still going. He's still going. And a surprise, Chad Boat last year drove. I don't know if you remember. Chad Boat is the son of Billy Boat.
Yep.
But he drove a couple races last year. He actually signed a contract, so he'll be going all the way. You've got Will Kimmel, Mason Mangus, Steve Kemp. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I wonder, Bobby Gearhart's been kind of off a little bit. I'd like to see him come back. But he owns Daytona in the ARCA series for some
right.
reason. Any thoughts, guys? You're just looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, I think
you rattled off a name that the CRA Super Series, we ought to keep an eye on that one just because... You know, we like the smaller series as well. The big ones, Mason Mangus.
Yes.
He's a Southern boy and has had some pretty good success running in the Super Series, and we'll just have to make one of those mental notes and keep an eyeball on that, see how he does.
Yeah, I think he'll do all right. If I remember right, I think he ran a couple of ARCA races last year and didn't do too bad. I think, was it Toledo we went to that he ran pretty decent?
Yeah.
But he's going to be in the 811 before you dig Toyota.
Oh, but he's in a Toyota.
Yeah, he's in a Toyota. Dude, you got. I know you don't like it, and I don't either, but Toyota's taking over, dude.
Nope.
Well, okay.
I'm going to cry right here on the air.
Wait a minute.
I need to.
Oh, that's my dad spinning in his grave also.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, dude, man,
my dad's just hanging a bird. Oh, man.
I try not to talk racing with my dad because the minute Toyota comes up, or I mention the driver Toyota, whew, but he also works for GM like Kenny does. So, and I'm kind of like that. But you know, you got to admit when the guys put up money, you know, you're going to win.
Well, and it's a worldwide economy now, so you can't.
Right.
It's not like you're shutting your shores down or anything, but still, it's Toyota, and you send their profits to Japan. So. And I guess, we'll talk about that some other time. That's a rabbit trail I don't really want to go down anyway.
Okay.
Well, why not? You've already started it.
You're a little bit too late, Alice.
Yeah. I'm almost scared to mention any car makers around you anymore, Kenny Barr.
Feel free. You never know what kind of reaction you're going to get, you know?
That makes good radio.
But still no Dodges. Not very many Fords in the ARCA either, but it's mostly Chevy and Toyotas.
Got one Ford truck. Somebody put together an F-150, I heard.
In the ARCA series?
No, in the truck series. It's going to be a North Carolina blue, so I expect it to catch fire, first race. Oh, I haven't told you that story. We'll have to tell one off the air sometime.
Okay. Well, there we go. Man, that was a fast segment, guys. Again, you can go to radiospeedtalk.com. Check us out there. And facebook.com/radiospeedtalk. And Tom, you are at?
Instagram, Speed Snap This.
Well, there you go. And you need to check it out because Tom does take pictures.
There's only two photos on there right now, but I'm working on getting the other ones loaded up once
I get
this.
All right, we got started. That's cool. Kenny Barr, you are at on
Instagram,
Twitter.
Speed Snap This. I'm sure I'm on one of the two photos.
Barr 52, Radio Speed Talk 2. When we come back, we're going to talk some Campy World Truck Series and a lot of cool things going on there. You are listening to
Speed Talk.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Welcome back to Speed Talk, folks. We got Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Tiny behind the boards. I'm Cliff Tanner. And again, RadioSpeedTalk.com. You can check everything out there. Old shows, old interviews, pictures, some pictures. You can also catch Kenny at Kenny@RadioSpeedTalk.com, Tom@RadioSpeedTalk.com, and Cliff@RadioSpeedTalk.com. Give us some input, some things you like. Make some comments, whatever you want to do. We go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, and we got Kenny Barr at on Twitter, sir?
Kenny Barr 52, KennyBarr 52.
And Tom has really come up into the social media. We can't get him on Twitter, but, man, he threw us off, and you got something new going on, my friend. What's
Instagram,
going on?
Baby.
Talk about it.
Speed Snap This. That's SpeedSnapThis for Kenny.
Well, you just changed that. You know, earlier you said you don't see any need that we had to spell that out.
I'm a team player. I'm a team player.
Well, I'm at Radio Speed Talk too on Twitter. Check us out everywhere. Let us know what you think, man. You got somebody you want to hear interviewed, which we're going to be having coming up here soon. So we've got 2 weeks to Daytona. We already talked a little bit about ARCA. Well, actually, we've got about a week for ARCA, but 2 weeks for the big Daytona 500. We're going to talk about Camping World Truck Series. A lot of changes going on there, including going back to dirt since 1970, and they're also going to go to Mid-Ohio, which... Well, Tom, you've been there. Kenny, did you ever go with us to Mid-Ohio?
I have been to the Indy race with you.
Okay. It's a beautiful facility, but they're going to get NASCAR in there because there has been rumors that the big boys, the Sprint Cup boys, they've been trying to get them in there, so they're going to give it a test on the trucks. I'm not sure how that will work, though, guys. I mean, on the trucks on a road series?
I'm not seeing it listed on this schedule.
They're at Mid-Ohio. Sitting right there on the NASCAR page. As a matter of fact, there was an article that they're going to get extra practice
really?
Down there. And
do we know what? Do you have a date on it?
Well, let me find that for you here real quick.
I got four weddings this summer. I sure hope it's one of them.
Let's see.
No, I'm not getting married four times, but I'm involved in three of the four, and I think the fourth one's close enough. I don't think I can blow it off.
So. But you're not, huh? Well, as we're looking this up, but I know I saw an article on it. I'm not crazy.
Okay.
Well, now wait a minute.
I'll tell you the one that I'm looking forward to, too, the return to Rockingham.
Yes.
Andy Hillenburg's place.
Yeah,
I always liked the Rock. That's a fun place to watch.
Absolutely.
Okay. Drove by it once, didn't slow down. Should have.
I apologize, folks. I do not see that on here, so Tom is right.
Just the Nationwide Series going to...
That's Nationwide that's going, that's right. Okay, that's where I got screwed up. I apologize.
Ohio.
Yep.
What's the date
but,
on that?
You know, if I can get that campaign started right now for trucks at Mid-Ohio, I'll jump on that bandwagon.
How's come I knew that was coming? All right, with that being said, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and just to let you know, if you're trying to get Grandstand tickets for that race... which is in July, you're out of luck.
Start calling your local scalper.
That's right. They're going to be looking. All right, defending champ, another Buescher, the cousin of Chris Buescher and James. And Kenny, we've talked to him before, man. I'm telling you what, it's an up-and-coming kid. Great job. I think he's going to be a good NASCAR driver eventually. But you got Timothy Peters from Red Horse Racing. Joey Coulter went from RCR over to... And I know Kenny doesn't like this. Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know.
They get over it.
Yeah, he might win a race because he doesn't have to worry about competing with Ty Dillon, which is going to be a favorite, I'm sure, this year. But you got Parker Klingerman is going to be driving part-time for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Nelson Piquet Jr., James Lofton, Matt Crofton. Man, there's all kinds of people. Johnny Sauter with Thor Sport Racing. You know anything about that, Kenny? That's the first time I heard of that one.
No, it's probably a renamed team somewhere.
Jason White, Cale Gale, Mikel Peluto, Johnny Sauter. Ron Hornaday is going to be running with NTS Motorsports, driving to number 9. Todd Bodine, one of Tom's favorite guys.
Yeah.
The Onion. He doesn't have a ride yet this year, but it looks like he's going to be. Ryan Blaney, those are just some of the guys. And still my favorite, one of my favorite female drivers, Jennifer Jo Cobb, will be around every once in a while. Go ahead.
Brenda Gaughan is going to make another run at it, too. Jeff Burton's got a full-time ride.
Yep.
And who else that I saw that kind of caught my eye? I forget. That's what happened.
Did Burton get a full-time ride?
Yeah.
Oh, and one.
Turner Scott.
Yeah. You know who we're missing?
No.
The other new ride?
No.
Is it James Wallace?
Oh, Darrell Wallace.
Darrell Wallace, yeah, Junior.
Yeah, that's a
He's got a full-time ride, and guess with who?
I know. I saw. Maybe that's why they want to really bring it up right away. Nelson Piquet Jr., running Turner Scott again.
Yep.
It's going to be very competitive. It's going to be fun to watch.
I think it is going to be fun. It'd be interesting to see what Joey Coulter is going to do, because, you know, the kid's a good driver, and he's out from RCR. And you know, I mean, he's had to put up with both of the Dillon boys. And I don't know, man. Ty Dillon made some mistakes there towards the end of the year. Timothy Peters finished second, his best career ever, and he was only 6 out. So I think we're going to have an interesting race again this year. Obviously, James Buescher, Ty Dillon are probably going to be 2 of your favorites going through so far for this series, because, you know, Ty Dillon wants to move up to Nationwide, right?
Well, sure. I mean, you're this close now, and Grandpa's ready. You know, he's getting the 3 ready for the other Dillon boy, and they'll just be changing seats, coming up the chain of command. One Dillon will go up into the NASCAR Cup, the Winston Cup, or the, I'm giving up my Sprint Cup, giving up my age again, and talking with my hands. I gotta love doing this. And he'll move up to the Nationwide, and then pretty soon it'll be a great big family affair.
Well, I think it's pretty cool. It'll be interesting to see some of the young guys and what they're going to be able to do. But Jeb Burton is definitely, I mean, that kid can drive.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make his daddy look sad before it's all over. And his uncle. Oh, that's Will Burton. But anyway.
Hey, I got something for you, Tom.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I found a YouTube video of the trucks practicing at Eldora on the dirt.
There you go.
Oh, this is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, they've had an opportunity to get out there, and they're going to get a little extra time to practice out there for some of these guys. But I don't know. I think it's going to be wide open again this year. Red Horse Racing has really came out of nowhere. I remember, 2 years ago we interviewed those guys down there at Daytona, and Timothy Peterson had won the Daytona truck race the year before, and he was looking as a 2-time guy, and he was the only one there. And then we had Miguel Peluto, who, as you pointed out a couple weeks ago, was interviewing with us and actually sewing some patches
on his
suit.
On his uniform.
So, throws me $100 in a string and a thread, I'm going to get after it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just kind of cool. And another one of my favorite guys, and I love the guy, and TJ Bell. I mean, you know, the guy's just enthusiastic. You can't always find a full-time ride, but, man, that dude is just...
Right.
He's like 5'2", and just always looking for a good ride. But I don't know. I got to say, again, the favorite's going to have to be Buescher again. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to go back-to-back. What do you think?
It's going to be tough. PK Jr. had a nice second half of the year. The Dillon kid's tough. I'm not going to make any predictions. The race is too fickle. It's weird, man. It's going to be fun to watch. Tune in. More to come.
Oh, yeah, that's always good. And Daytona is always a good race to watch, too.
Right.
So.
And probably the most competitive of the 3 NASCAR series right now.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
I mean, point-wise, I mean, you go last year,
let's
look. Buescher had 808 points. Timothy had 802. Timothy Peters, sorry about that. Joey Coulter, 789. And Ty Dillon, unfortunately, got wrecked out early, and he went down to 784. But I can promise you, he ain't going to make some of those rookie mistakes he made last year. But again, Nelson Piquet Jr., like you said, Parker Klingerman, he had a pretty halfway decent second half. And you know who I'd like to see? Johnny Sauter was also pretty well. I'd like to see Ron Hornaday make one more run.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's an old champ from California, and wise, lots of experience. He sneaks in there when
King of the restarts.
That's I was just going to go there. King of the restarts.
He was good at
oh yeah,
he can snooker you when you're not. Boy,
you better pay attention.
On that. Yep.
Well, you know, and I hate to say this, and I know he switched teams after all that happened, but he doesn't seem to be the same since that incident with Kyle Busch. I mean, I don't know, even though it was done under caution, they weren't at full speed, but, I mean, he still got smacked around.
Yeah.
You think psychological kind of thing?
Yeah. Seems like it.
No.
Like I said, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well,
I'm allowed.
I think the bigger thing is the equipment. You know, you're talking about, I mean, Kevin and Delana Harvick built a pretty good-sized dynasty there in the Truck Series and in Nationwide, and then when they decided to dismantle that thing, you know, it left a lot of people scrambling. So, just saying.
All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left. We got to make a prediction. Anything else you want to bring up about Truck Series before we go into predictions?
I'm just looking forward to seeing another competitive year out of them. And obviously the return, like I said, to Rockingham and at Eldora on the dirt. This is going to be a good year.
Well, did he just say that? It's going to be a good year on dirt?
Now if we could just sneak a road course in there.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I don't think you could do a truck on a road course very easily. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're the same. They're similar chassis. They're just going to look funny. I don't know. I don't think these cars are made for road courses anyway, you know.
Right.
Go put your Indy cars and your F1s and your Indy Vs and that kind of stuff and your sports cars and all that other different divisions on road courses and leave the oval cars to the oval cars. Tom, get that, brother?
I hear you.
Okay.
I'm ignoring you.
All right.
And you Ford fans, there is going to be one Ford F-150 back out there, you know, the best-selling truck in the country for 850 years straight. But there's going to be one out there. You can keep an eye on that and see how they do with that one.
All right. My prediction this year is Joey Coulter's going to pull it out.
Well, I'm picking the Dillon kid. That's a no-brainer.
Did you say Coulter was going, is he driving for Kyle Busch? Yeah, that's going to be a strong team, but I'll take the old man then. I see Hornaday comes back this year and makes it close.
The old man. You writing this down, Cliff?
I'm writing her down, man. The old man. Which one? Onion?
Yeah.
He's an old man.
I know you're a favorite.
I can't tell you my nickname for him on air.
Frost on the pumpkin. Doesn't he sing for you at one time or another?
Ron Hornaday, that's my prediction.
No, that was for our former guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he has become Mr. Crash last year. I don't know. It seemed like every time I turn around, what was that? The last race of the year, I think he crashed four times and took some people out in the process of all that. And that could be explained why he's not with Red Horse Racing anymore, because the guy can't afford to put him on.
Yeah, so. Probably. You know, it's just like Phoenix Racing and Kurt Busch. He tore up every car they had, and they only had one out of the 14 left about a third of the way, halfway into the season. So stuff gets expensive. You can't bust everything up.
Yeah.
Well, there you hear it. I got Joey Coulter, Kenny's got Ty Dillon, and Tom's going Ron Hornaday Jr. We'll have to ask him one day, or maybe even off the air, why he chose that. But we need to take
experience.
A break here.
Yours or his?
His.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to come up with it, so.
All right, folks. RadioSpeedTop.com. We come back. We're going to talk about Eldora Speedway as our local track of the week. And you are listening to
Speed Talk.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Back to Speed Talk, guys. Wow, once again, I love it. I love it. RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us all out there. We can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, and Tommy's going on to Instagram.
Yeah,
wait,
that's right.
Speed snap this.
All right, Kenny Barr at...
Hey, I forgot your root beer again.
Yes, you did.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my.
I actually drank them all.
Kenny's on Twitter. While they're having that conversation, I'll tell you. It's KennyBarr52, Radio Speed Talk News, where you can find me at. Again, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, catch any of us there, email us, tell us what you think, what you want to hear. Well, maybe I shouldn't open that. Tell us what you think, man. We could be in trouble there.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Well, it's all constructive criticism.
Who? All right, as we have started doing, we're going to try and do, and you know, Tom brought up an interesting point, Tom, and I appreciate you bringing that. Folks, I know when we talk about, we say local and regional tracks, we're talking about anywhere around the United States. If you know anybody that wants to get on and talk about their racetrack or anything like that, whether it be Florida or Maine or wherever, just get a hold of us and we'll do it. Right now, we're going around the Fort Wayne area, Fort Wayne, Indiana area, because that's where we're from. We're going to talk about some other ones. And today I decided to go with Eldora Speedway for several reasons, but obviously one, it ties in with the Camping World Truck Series. And Kenny was just playing us some YouTube video of practice down there. And I couldn't see it too well, but I could hear the engines running, guys. And I don't know about you, man, but I'm ready. Eldora Speedway is at 13929 Route 118. It says New Weston, but if you go on the website, it says Rossburg, Ohio, either way. EldoraSpeedway.com, you can catch them on the net there. And their phone number is 937-338-3815, 937-338-3815. Guys, this is their 60th year down here, owned by Tony Stewart.
And what a facility. Where can you go to a local track and have suites in one end, corporate suites in one end in turn three, and then go down to the other end in turn two and have a nice grass seating area. So you can experience it any way you want. Sit in the grandstand, sit in the grass, you know, sneak into a corporate suite, whatever you need to do.
Ooh, hey, they've redone their website. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a very nice website. I got to tell you, though, man, it's cool to be in the media because I think other than when we were down at Lucas Oil, which we got some pretty good seats down there. You and I got
right
down there.
Yeah.
I mean, we were right there taking pictures. But Eldora was dynamite when we were down there for Prelude to a Dream last year. And unfortunately, that has been put on hold because it is a nice charity. But fortunately, it's put on hold. So we got Camping World Truck Series
right
coming in. Again, their grandstands are sold out. And guys, I don't know about you, but we're going. At least I am. You guys can come with me if you want.
Well, get those credentials lined
up.
I'll be there with you.
I'm working on it. We'll all be there. But it is on a Wednesday night. It's not on a normal weekend. It is replacing the Prelude to a Dream. Yes, Kenny?
That's good, because I don't have any weddings on Wednesday night.
There you go.
Yahoo!
But it's a half-mile facility, and again, owned by Tony Stewart. It's all dirt, and man, I'll tell you what, they got some good racing series coming through there. And the World Outlaw is coming through there. I mean, beautiful facility.
Oh, yeah. The sprint cars on that racetrack just put on a tremendous, tremendous show. I've been down there for the Four Crown Nationals, where they run the old Silver Crown cars, which are bigger sprinters that are heavier. The appeal must be to guys even older than me because they just, I mean, they put on a good show, too. But then you throw out the non-wing sprints, really get around there. The midgets, oh, you can find out how big a stones a driver has in a hurry. And then midgets, because if you don't lift, you win. usually, and that kind of thing. We raced down there in the World 100 years ago when it was an invitation-only thing, and we had a Bobby Allison-built Monte Carlo, and old Cliff Setzer was driving for us, so he got the invite to go down there. And this place at one time, I was told, was built originally, it was an old gravel pit. I don't know how true to life that is, but I do know that there will be times when in mid-race, here come these rocks the size of Tiny's head come popping out of the ground. And they would either, hopefully they tumbled to the bottom or stayed up at the top. They'd occasionally have to throw the caution flag to pick these rocks up. But we were the victim of a divot from one of these great big rocks. And the car hit so hard it snapped both motor mounts off of the frame.
Wow.
Not the rubber parts off the engine. Busted the weld right off the frame and the engine went thud, and boy, the car started vibrating and shaking and stuff. And Cliff was doing pretty well with it. So it's a neat racetrack. We've been down there a couple times. More of a spectator than I have been a participant. But if you ever have a chance to go, if you have a Saturday night where you don't know what you want to do with yourself, go to Eldora. You will be entertained. Money well spent.
Well, the cool thing is they're one of the around this area. They actually start April 13th with the Sunoco American Late Model Series. Big triple header going on out there. But you know, one thing I was interested in, or that I found interesting, I didn't realize they had, but they got off-road racing out there as well.
Where?
Well, hang on, I'm getting right to it, man. It keeps flipping on me.
Well, let's not forget, right before the season opener, the weekend before on April the 6th, Test and Tune opened all divisions, free entry for everyone. So if you're there, get out and watch them.
Yeah, man, if you've never seen them on dirt, why can't all of a sudden their schedule of thing is not working and going all along. But it's Traxxas off-road racing. They've got two dates for that, I believe. I didn't realize that they had the facilities for that, but apparently they...
That's different. Yeah, Baja comes to Eldora with an off-road truck. Spectacular.
I found it.
Now, they were at one
May
time,
10th and 11th.
One time building a mile dirt. You ever see that bits and pieces that Earl's put together over there?
No.
I think that is finally kind of bit the dust, and they made a go-kart dirt over there. But Earl was at one time building, if you're standing at the grandstands, let's say you're standing at the start-finish line, you look over straight across and off to the right a little bit, coming out of two, you could see where they were putting something together back in the woods back there. Never got that completely done, but I think that's where they raced the go-karts on dirt over there now. A couple of years ago, he threw that together really late, and they had over 100 carts show up. Just on a whim, they advertise it for about a month, and here they come. So carts on dirt is even pretty popular.
Well, I don't know, man. There's something about dirt. It's kind of hard when you see that stuff on dirt. And I've been to Clarksville, Tennessee, down at their racetrack. And, man, that was pretty awesome down there. And then you come back to some of these local areas that got asphalt on there and see how some of these tracks. It is interesting how that works.
It's a different animal. You know, I think a couple weeks ago we were talking about the National Speedway Directory and how asphalt tracks are slowly going down a number. And if you're going to get into racing, whether you're a promoter or builder, dirt at this point is the way to go because the fans are still going to the dirt tracks.
And I don't know why that is, other than it's more exciting, I guess.
Well,
but
it's
more exciting,
it's more affordable. Well, it's a little bit of everything.
Well, it's probably, I don't want to say easier to keep kept up, but you know, a lot of these, especially as you get into the 50, 60, 70-year-old tracks, you know, as far as divots and you know, what's the word I want to use, the structure of a lot of it seem to break down a lot more. But dirt seems to be a little bit easier to control.
Well, it's not. It's way harder to maintain and stuff. They're constantly pulling new clay in and new whatever compounds they want to run on their particular tracks. They're constantly bringing that in, and if the track gets dry that night, you got to run the water trucks out there, and then you go out there and get everybody's junkers out there and iron the track in a little bit and stuff. And dirt fans are amazing. You can get away with running a dirt show at 2, 3 in the morning, and they stay till the end of the show.
How could you not?
Well, because it's 2 or 3 in the morning, basically. You know, you pull that trick at an asphalt track, and you know, if you try to get like a rain delay or something done, and the people just bail out and leave. You know, so but the dirt fans are a different breed. They certainly enjoy their dirt racing. It's a lot more exciting. It's a lot more fun to drive on. It's probably more work as far as prepping cars and cleaning cars and redoing cars. And yeah, probably I don't think you tear them up as hard
right
when you hit the concrete because you don't have as much momentum. You're not going quite as fast, but it sure seems like you are because they're making a bunch of noise. They're fun.
And if you sit close enough to the track, you get to go home with a free souvenir.
Oh, yeah, or six or seven.
Yeah, we found that out at the Prelude to a Dream. We were literally right there. And what was the name? Justin Allgaier was right on the wall. And that first time we were down there taking pictures, we got blasted with dirt.
Oh, yeah. And, big mud balls.
Yeah, I had to do an emergency swipe on the limbs as he went by.
Because yeah, I was doing video, and all of a sudden I hear it was like, boop, you know, and the beep, and then it, next thing you know,
you can always tell the people who haven't been to dirt tracks before. They always pick the seats that, and the other 20,000 are going, yeah. Watch them run when the first time they come by.
But I got to tell you, though, the loudest wreck I ever heard at a racetrack was done that night.
Oh, yes, it was.
When Bobby Labonte came around and blasted Casey Kane. Oh, my God. Or I should say, Casey Kane rammed Bobby Labonte and won still one of the dumbest moves I've ever seen anybody trying to come off the wall like that. But anyway, Eldora. And let me ask you this, Kenny. We got a couple minutes here. I've heard talk that there are tracks that actually can do both. How hard would that be? I mean,
do both? What do you mean do both?
Asphalt and dirt.
Not in the same night.
Well, no, I know it wouldn't be the same night.
Avella did. Howard did that. It opened as dirt, then he paved it, then he threw dirt on top of it, then he scraped it off, then he threw dirt on top of it again.
Right.
Then he scraped it off, and then they sold the place. So, yeah, that's happened. He left the asphalt down and threw dirt right on top of that baby, or clay or mud or whatever it is he threw on there. And that's when I quit going, about the time that I got married, when he turned it over to dirt again.
So that's got to be a crazy transition. I mean, how would you even do that?
Well, you get a hell of a lot of dump trucks in
there. I mean, I'm sure that wouldn't be feasible financially in today's market. But.
Well, I don't know. You know, Baldus, just before he sold that thing to Eldora, not to Tony, brought in, what did they say? Oh, wow. I want to say 80 tons of clay and put it on top. And, you know, they spread it out just like a farmer and work it in with discs and just mix it in with the rest of it. They did the same thing to the dirt track down in Charlotte. You know, they really work with the compounds and the dirt, and the certain clays hold moisture better than others and stuff. And you go down to Georgia, and it's red clay, and up here it's ugly old brown clay, but it all gets the job done.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that was one thing I did notice from being down south and being up here, how different and how different the color it was
for the
clays. But nonetheless, you need to get out to Eldora. Again, you can catch him at eldoraspeedway.com. And if you want to call and get tickets for any show, and again, they got lots of them, 937-338-3815. Yes, sir.
Hey, Tom, I got an idea. You always want to put oil here and deers there and water there. How about half dirt, half asphalt?
I like it.
You do?
Now, would you do it like half the track from like the straightaway to the back stretch, or would you like put the upper groove dirt and the lower groove asphalt?
Well,
so which halfway are you going to do it?
One and two is dirt, and three and four is asphalt.
I like it.
There's all sorts of creative ways to do that. That'll get the fans in. Talk about a night of destruction. That'll bust a few up. Then put a school bus race out there and a trailer race all the same night.
Well, if you're going to do that, you've got to have like a mobile home and a big monster truck to run it over, because those things are always fun to watch.
At least one.
In the front stretch and the back stretch, we throw in ice. That way the only turns is asphalt and why not?
Hey, you know, we have a few promoters.
RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. We come back with Do You Know? We'll talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and what's going on down there. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
County Road 233 under my feet. Nothing on this wide rock but a little old lane. I got 2 miles till he makes bail. And if I'm right, we're headed straight for him. I'm going home, going home with my shotgun. Wait by the door and light a cigarette. He wants a fire.
Hi, I'm
I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your voice. We'll get wild, wild, wild. Wild, wild, wild.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Man, I'll tell you what, this hour is going fast. We've talked some ARCA. We've talked some Hall of Fame. We've talked some Campy World Truck Series, Eldora, and well, now we're going to talk a little bit about Do You Know. But first, Kenny had texted me. We lost a Hall of Famer from Bearfield and a local guy that doodled a little bit in drag racing with Corvettes. Correct?
Yeah, yeah. He, we'll talk about John first. John Schnoker, based out of my hometown, New Haven, part owner of L&S Alignment. They dabbled with drag racing off and on when time allowed and the small business world wasn't super-duper busy, and they would set a few national records here and there. We're going to miss John, not only as a competitor in business, but he was a really nice guy. The business will continue on. And I don't know if they still have the dragster or not, but anytime you lose a racer, you just kind of you sit back and you appreciate life a little bit better. And then I saw in the paper, which I feel a little bit bad about because his brother used to paint my race cars, Neil Bordner passed away. Neil was one of the best mechanics out here for a long, long, long time. Had a little bit to do with Con and Moose Myers and his successes when he was the hot shoe right after Klotz left town way back when and stuff. And Neil was a very good mechanic, had a large following, great sense of humor. I got to give Dean a call and give my condolences to him, but going to miss them both. You know, I guess we can't all be around forever, but, you know, sometimes you want them to be around forever.
Well, we'd all like to be around forever. Well, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, as long as I don't age, you know.
Well, there's the key point right there.
Yeah, I'm looking for the Fountain of Youth. I ain't found it yet. Ponce de Leon ain't found it yet, so I guess there's probably not really one out there.
And before we bet any more pop or anything, I just realized RadioSpeedTalk.com. You can catch us there. I seen that look of Tom.
I was going to bust you again.
Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny Barr 52 at Twitter. I'll be at Radio Speed Talk too. And Tommy is Instagram. Tell us one more time where they can find you at, man.
Speed Snap This.
All right. We got all kinds of social stuff going on. Kenny?
Yes.
We're going to let you do it now, man.
Okay. Do You Know, again, is sponsored by our friends for Wish for Our Heroes. WishForOurHeroes.org does great things for active military families around the country. President Jeff Wells would like you to just check out the website. They don't want your money. They want your belief. Please check them out. You'll appreciate what they do. WishForOurHeroes.org. Tom, I was thinking of you today, which was kind of spooky to begin with.
And apparently you didn't think long enough to bring that root beer yummy.
No, I drank all them. I haven't been to the store, to be quite honest with you. And I'm not going to pay the convenience store prices. I'm going to buy the cheapest one I can find and bring it over here.
All right.
I'm kind of embarrassed about that whole thing. But I know you're a big fan of NASA and some of the things that the space program has brought to the world technology-wise, like, you know, a pencil instead of a pen.
Yep. And let me throw this. Let me interrupt real quick. If you go to the Instagram site, the photograph I used on there is of my Denali with I Need My Space and the NASA logo on the bumper sitting next to a smart car.
Oh, there you go.
With a pencil?
There's no pencil.
No pencil. But you can write on it with a pencil once you buy the photograph and download it yourself. But I got to thinking about some of the things that car technologies we have that came from racing. I got to do a little research on it because the first thing that comes to mind is what? The rearview mirror. Remember Ray Haroon?
Okay.
Down in Indianapolis? He used it for the very first Indianapolis 500, so he have a riding mechanic and stuff. Everybody forgets about that, and it's so basic. We made a lot of money for people knocking rearview mirrors off of their mailboxes and garage doors over the years, so I appreciate Ray. He's probably fed me once or twice and didn't have a clue that was going to happen 100 years later. But there's some really neat things that I hadn't slowed down long enough in life to realize. One of the things is called a direct shift gearbox, which means you don't have to have a clutch pedal, and you can shift about any time you want to in a manual shift. They're in sports cars more than anything. I think Audi and Volkswagen use them more than anything in America. But that come directly from F1.
Not even Toyota.
No, not even Toyota. That was very good. See, I'm getting you guys straight. That's a good deal. Have any of you seen the push-button starters on the newer cars?
Yes.
The Corvettes and stuff?
Freaks me out.
Yep. Porsche Racing started that many years ago. It does freak a lot of people out.
Whoa,
you get
whoa,
in the
time
car.
Out. Yeah. What racing?
Porsche.
Porsche. Oh, Porsche. I thought you said horse. I'm like, okay.
Horse racing. You had to push the button on the horse to get him to go.
Yeah, I don't want to know horse. Where the button is. You push.
Wow. We'll check with Tony on that. He's got all the research over there, I'm sure. But Porsche actually put the button on the left-hand side in their race cars. Over in Europe, a lot of times they have standing starts, and the driver has to run to the car, jump in it, and go. Well, they put the button on the left side so he could reach over with the shifter and fire that up and rip it into gear and take off, theoretically, before everybody else. Well, now that's kind of caught on in real cars, and you see a lot of push-button cars that some you have to put a key in, some you just have to have a key fob within a range. And that's kind of a neat little thing that they've got. I don't think I'm ever going to own a car like that, but one of these days maybe they'll come down into my price range. Brakes, something a lot of people don't realize. Disc brakes started in race cars in the 50s.
Wow.
And you have disc brakes on just about everything nowadays. And,
right.
Of course, they create massive amounts of heat, so now you see these vented rotors with holes drilled in them. All that is really to dissipate heat. A lot of people think that tears up the pads. It doesn't with their bevels correctly. They haven't. The only cars I've seen built with these vented rotors like that are high-end sports cars and stuff. So the average everyday Joe car haven't got them yet, but they don't really run them hard enough to make those necessary or to make those advantage to put on the cars. They're a little more expensive and stuff. And you have on the front of your Montana something that came from racing, ceramic brake pads.
Wow.
Which are, they don't have dust, they stop just as well, and they wear like iron. That came from racing. A lot of people don't realize that. The dual overhead cam engines that are in a lot of the smaller cars and a lot of the sports cars nowadays came from racing, and I didn't realize this. That started in the 1900s, for heaven's sake.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yep. And those motors, Europe has been infamous for making a lot more horsepower out of itty-bitty cubes for a long, long time, and that is really the basis for that whole thing. And we got several of them in our car lines now, and the guys are getting pretty adept at working on them, so that not as scary when you throw up the hood and you go, I work on one of them.
Well, heck, I do that anyway.
Yeah, I do too with some of these things. Superchargers came from racing. Engines need air, obviously, to breathe. The more air you get, the better. The cooler air, the better. The more they get, that thickens up the fuel-air mixture, i.e. more energy out of the fuel itself. You can't run a supercharger in NASCAR or Formula One, but you can in drag racing. And how many of them babies have we seen go,
oh, yeah.
You'd make a heck of a big deal. But that's part of the reason drag racers can make so much power. And there's superchargers on a lot of cars. They have to be maintained once in a while, change the oil, or at least make sure the oil level is decent. And even hood scoops that come on cars. They don't actually force air into the engine, but there's more airflow going into the engine compartment, theoretically, hopefully getting into the air cleaner. And this is long before mass airflow sensors and things control how much air go into the motor and stuff. So
let me ask you a question before you go any further. Why do you think it took so long for American cars to get into that point, to use those types of
things? Oh, money, manufacturing, a little bit of pride. they didn't need to. You know, gosh, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they sold gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs of cars with what they had going. So why go to the exotic and the fancy and the more money?
Well, I mean, in today's world, I guess is what I'm saying, you know, how they were able to put that all together, put that technology to the cars today, I guess is what I was trying to...
Well, the American car manufacturers are handcuffed a lot by our friendly federal government and federal emissions laws.
Mm-hmm.
You would see a lot more of this exotic stuff if they didn't have to meet the California emissions and the New York emissions and,
right.
and all that stuff. So the cars would be completely different if we didn't have to deal with catalytic converters and 20 sensors and four gas analyzer sniff tests just to get your car plates renewed in some states in the union. And so most of that's our wonderful government.
Anything else?
No, you got any questions?
No, but I got to do you know.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Do you know that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was sued for handicap accessible, or inaccessibility, I should say.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that here not too long ago. I kind of snickered at that because I figured you'd be grandfathered in since you were built in 19-aught-something or other.
Well,
I guess I'm not as smart
as
you
are until somebody sues you, Kenny. You talk about federal government frivolous lawsuits. But a gentleman apparently tried to get through the pits in a wheelchair, which I agree with you, as wide as the pits are in Indianapolis and the track and in that area like that, it's kind of hard for that to happen. But unfortunately, they have to do that. So with that, they got to, you know, have to make some improvements, but they're not going to stop there. They're not only going to make it more handicap accessible, they're going to put in new grandstands, new lighting. So there's a rumor that we may see some NASCAR racing later towards the evening. There's been some talk about that. They're also going to have new screens. They're going to be new ones of that.
Video screens.
Video screens, thank you. So with all of that, it's going to be $70 to $100 million worth of improvements. And, of course, an Indianapolis Republican in the state Senate has decided that he's going to push through a bill where, guess what, Indiana's going to have to pay more taxes to pay for all of this.
Oh,
surprise?
Speedway improvements, they got the money. They can do it themselves. Somebody's in bed with somebody on that deal.
Well, they're taking a page out of the book of Fort Wayne, and they're going to add a penny onto tax on food is one of the things that they're talking about. So kind of interesting, kind of tidbit. But
I hope not. Every time they put a tax on, they never take it back off, even if they claim they're
right.
on what's A or B or C project is paid for. That tax is just there forever and ever and ever.
Well, that's because we're still paying for the parking lot at the Coliseum.
Oh, don't start me with that. You're right. My dad used to rail about that, and then I found out the truth of that. Oh, jeez, how?
Okay, what's the truth?
That you just said it.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people don't realize that.
They were going to pay for it and then be done with it. Now you pay $4 or $5 to park per event.
But my question is, and we only got about a minute and 20 seconds here, why should we have to pay for something that they should do in the first place?
Shouldn't.
As far as the, you know, improvements.
I agree, we shouldn't.
Well, you know, and I guess it saddens me to see that professional sports is coming with this and all over. It's all the almighty dollar.
Well, it started probably with the NFL and building these new stadiums and you know, taxpayers paying for it under the guise of bringing business in. How about we quit playing football players or any athlete $20 million a year? How about we lower their salary a little bit and take $5 million of it towards a stadium?
It's paid with TV money.
Yeah.
The owners have that kind of money so they can throw that around. I don't blame the players for getting all that money at all. But and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway certainly isn't going to sell the naming rights to that place, and they couldn't get all that money to improve if they wanted to. They could call it the
don't mean to cut you, my
fish.
Friend, but we got to go, man. That
yeah.
was a fast
so,
RadioSpeedTalk.com and Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, KennyBar52 at Twitter, RadioSpeedTalk2, Tom, Snap, SpeedSnap this at Instagram. Catch everything there, folks. When we come back next week, NASCAR, we're going to do Sprint, and we're going to do Nationwide. So you put that down, and I'm going to let one of you guys pick whatever track we're going to do. You listening to?
Speed Talk.